Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you all for tuning in, those that are calling in. I am in my car, you know, and I left one of my clients kind of late, and I'm in my car, and so it's fitting because of what we're going to talk about tonight, the things that God had to show me while I was in my car and driving and stuff. And so I was able to pull over and just appreciate the Lord for some things that, man, he was talking to me about. Anybody that knows me knows when I drive, I think, and I allow the Lord to speak to me, and I'm paying attention to where I'm going. But it's just the things that make you go, wow, you know, Lord, that's so real. And so I just want to appreciate you all for calling tonight. It means a lot to know that God has a message and you have some people that are willing to listen. Before I get started, I really want to start with a word of prayer. If you could, you know, where you are, just, you know, whatever your situation is, this is kind of different tonight. For whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, I want you to really grab a hold to the night. So pray with me. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. God, I appreciate you. Lord, you're awesome. God, Lord, I appreciate you, Father. Oh, God, if it hadn't been for your presence with me today, God, there were some things I would have missed, Father. But because you brought them back to my attention, oh, Lord, I appreciate you, oh, God. Father, I pray tonight that every listener, those that are tuning in, those that are picking up their phones or on their laptops or on their desktops tonight, listening, Father, wherever they may be, God, I pray, God, that whatever's released tonight, Father, takes them a little bit closer to you, Father. I know, God, that when we get closer to you, we get lower, Father. It's not a raising up, Father, it's a lowering, because it becomes humbling. And, God, I pray, oh, God, even in the midst of where I am, that every ear that hears, Father, that they're listening to you, Father, that they obey you. God, I thank you for the night, God, because you're going to release some things, oh, God, and Lord, it's bringing us closer to where you are. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. Amen. Well, as you all know, we've been in the book Spiritual Authority. Last week, God led me not to talk about spiritual authority, but we went down another pathway to deal with how God is faithful, the faithfulness of God. And so many things happened, and people called me and things of that nature, and I was blessed to hear what they say. I don't do things to for folks to call me and tell me, you know, what a great word or anything of that nature. I do it because God has given me permission to do it. And so one of the caveats in tonight, one of the prerequisites, is obeying God. You know, I think that's a prerequisite in us being, us doing the things that is pleasing to the Lord, is obeying him. And so we're in chapter 8 tonight, the spiritual authority. I think is a unique chapter because we say a lot of things in this chapter, but we don't believe a lot of things in this chapter. I'm going to say this again. We say a lot of things in this chapter, but we don't believe a lot of things in this chapter. What makes it unique is chapter 8, spiritual authority, is that it deals with the authority of the body, the authority of the body of Christ. And so I'm going to say some things, and some of you all may hang up on me. That's okay. It doesn't matter to me, because I ain't scared of nobody. We have to understand, you've heard me say this over and over again, for years we have equated, and I'm going to put an equal sign, not equal to, but I'm going to put an equal sign, we have made the body of Christ and the present day church equivalent. We have used their names interchangeable. Meaning that if I'm discussing church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. So what makes that unequal is that the church is a building. The body of Christ is the august body of believers. The church can be controlled by man or the pastor. The body of Christ is only controlled by Christ himself. I want you all to let that sink in. And the reason what makes this chapter 8 so significant is, and I'm going to go down this rabbit hole, is how we have either praised the church or ridiculed the church. How we've complained about church hurt or church help that we received or have not received. So I want you all to grab a hold of that, because if anybody has been around church for years, you have experienced something from the church, because we're equating now this building or what man has determined as the church is equivalent to the body of Christ. So I want you to grab a hold of that. I'm going to try my best not to preach. If to get on me, I'm going to let the one that's pole outside, it'll calm me down. So I want to give a good depiction. If you read chapter 8 in the book of Spiritual Authority, it has some subject matters in here, and it starts out by 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 12, speaking about, for as the body is one. Right, okay. And so now we say that, but we don't believe that. And I'm going to tell you why I preference what is said and what is believed, right? Because what you believe, you respond to. What you say sometimes comes emotionally. So let's dive down this rabbit hole. Christ is the head of the body. I really want you all to grab a hold of this. Christ is the head of the body, which means that the spirit of the risen Christ is a head of his body. And if the head has control of his body, his body does not move, does not do anything unless the head has sent the signal for it to happen. I want y'all to grab a hold of that now. So if there's a signal now, if you read chapter 8, I'm going to try my best to really grab a hold of this. If you read chapter 8, if there's a signal that is sent to the right hand to move and to grab a hold to the left hand, there's also a signal sent to the left hand to reach and grab a hold to the right hand. The right hand does not control the movement of the left hand. Ooh, Lord Jesus. The hand itself does not control the movement of the eye. y'all get with me now. Just listen to me. And so if this is true, then when there's something going on in the body, the head knows about it. The body cannot do anything without permission from the head. Y'all grab a hold of that now. I want you to really, it's imperative that you grab a hold of this now. So if the body does not move unless the head approves it, it's going to remain still. Y'all forgive me, it's a little warm in here. I might have to let the window down a little bit. And if the body is still, is because the head hadn't sent a signal for it to do anything. Simultaneously now, I'm talking about the natural body. Because in the natural body, there can be mixed signals that can misfire that the brain will want the hand but it won't, and that's an abnormality, or that's something that has happened that has caused the signals to be blocked. That is truly not the case when we talk about the body of Christ, because there is nothing sick referencing the head, right? I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. There is nothing sick referencing the head. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is not sick, for it is perfect. There is no imperfection in Jesus himself. But now we are trying to make the church equivalent to the body of Christ, because we can't really determine what the body of Christ is. I said I'm going to go down this rabbit hole now. I just want y'all to bear with me for a minute. So, in this book now, it gives descriptions that with the body of Christ, that the members or the people that are in the hand does not control the movement of the other hand. The people that are in the legs don't control the movement of the other legs. They are controlled and moved by Jesus himself. And I'm pretty sure if there was an illness in Christ's body, he would heal it immediately, because in him there is no sickness. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further. This is for y'all that really I want you to get this now. Because Jesus sits in an eternal place, there is no illness that can come in eternity, because nothing that was eternal before can come in eternity now. If there was no illness during the time of eternity, there is no illness that can enter in eternity now. And if the Spirit of the Lord, now watch it now, I'm going back historically with you. If the Spirit of the Lord, when you receive it, moves you from a place in time and allows you to experience eternity, right, then the sickness has to go away. So, in other words, when Jesus walked the earth and he came amongst other people, the reason why illnesses, disease, sicknesses, and all those other things that we scream and cry about could not affect him, because Jesus was the representation of an eternal place. He brought eternity in the time so you could receive it, so you can experience it. So if you experience this from Jesus himself, then he now, after his death, burial, and resurrection, begins to establish his body. Now, he's the only one that can establish his body. No one else can. There is no pastor, no priest. There's no apostle, no bishop, no deacon. There is no evangelist, no anyone that can establish the kingdom or the body of Christ. Jesus is the only one that has the key to unlock it for those that don't know what it is and trying to get in. He has his own criteria. Obedience has been one of the key components to becoming a part of the body or in the kingdom. Now, what's critical now, what's real critical now, is that because we put more confidence in people and religious structure that when something happened around the building, that is brick or wood, small or great, that has a cross affiliated with it, we've classified it as the church, and when we get hurt, we call it church hurt, that the church hurt me. The truth of the matter is, the body of Christ did nothing to you. It was the people that are hanging around the body that has done something that does not represent the body of Christ. This is where I'm going. I just want y'all to ride with me here for a minute now, because it's cold outside, and so I want you to get warm. Now, follow this now. I hear all the time of there's wickedness in the church. I hear all the time that God is going to correct his church. I hear this now. Y'all could probably repeat some of these other things, and I want to tell you where it's coming from. You know, we say that God don't like no foolishness in the pulpit. There is nothing about a building that God has sanctioned that he would be in. I know I'm going to make some folks mad tonight, and that's okay. There is nothing about a building that God has sanctioned that he would be in. He explicitly says this, that I would not dwell in a building built by man's hand. Right? And I'm still talking about the authority of the body now. I'm talking about the authority of the body. The title of chapter 8 is the authority of the body. This one body, right, that is jointly fit together. You know, and so in this body, there's an authority there, but we don't see that authority in the church. However, it is in the ecclesia. We don't see it in the building, right? I'm going somewhere with this now, because we've tried to lock Jesus up in a building that he was never in the beginning. He had never been there. We go through the motions of trying to make people feel like what a great time we had at church today because a word was preached, people clapped their hands, somebody sung a song, you know, and we put more into it, and no one obeyed God. Because if you're in a body now, the left hand does not tell the head what to do. Now, Christ is the head of the body. How can the finger in the right hand dictate what's going to happen to the left shoulder, when it can only respond to the signals that is sent from the head? How? Think about this now. We have become repetitious people in repeating things that we hear because we don't really want to be responsible for the fact that it wasn't the body of Christ that hurt me. It was somebody that hurt me, a group of people that hurt me. It was a group of folks that used me. It was a group of folks that took advantage of my gift. Let's call a spade, y'all. Let's not continue to walk around here and want to blame the body of Christ for something that someone else did. I ain't got there yet. I'm going. So now, imagine this. if the body cannot move unless the head tell it, if Christ cures his own body, if he stops sickness and disease from entering into where he is, how can we dictate who is a part of the body of Christ and who not? Has there been something that Christ has delivered unto us? Has there been a measuring tool? Is there some type of auditing system that would identify who is a part of the body? I haven't read that anywhere. I haven't read that anywhere from that it would depict that you or I would know who is a part of the body of Christ. We have no clue. For that reason, look how, because we have leaders that now have become the head, and we have people that are following the head. And the head is making decisions, and because they are human, people get hurt behind those decisions. I know that there are times in which folks get offended because somebody wanted to sing a song and the pastor wouldn't let them sing a song, and they got offended because they believe they have a gift. And they'll say things like, well, he won't use me, or they won't use me. You know, I have a gift, they won't use it. So they leave their wounded thinking that they can signal back of what they want to do, but they haven't received a signal from the head. I'm not talking about the head being the pastor. I'm talking about the signal that God is sending. I want to help you out now. I'm almost there. You know, I'm almost there. So then we have situations where people are givers, man. They give a whole bunch of money. And then something happens and they need the assistance of the church. But then notice what I said, the church. I didn't say the body of Christ now. They need the assistance of the church. And then the pastor lets them know that we're not a bank. We don't lend money. You see this big facility we have to take care of? All that money goes to taking care of this facility, and the pastor is a part of that facility. And it is he or she that makes the rules for that house that we often call the house of God. And we get that because of the fact of the temple that was built. But there was only one plan given to build the temple, and that temple was in Jerusalem. But that temple was only to depict Jesus himself. Think about it now. And if I'm trying to get you to do something, I want you to release your own thoughts of what you thought the church was to just really understand they were just people. They're just people. And they don't have authority. But the body of Christ has authority. I'm going there now. I'm almost there. So which means that our focus has been on the wrong thing. It has not been on the totality of who Christ really is. But we're getting a shadow of what someone is telling us Christ is. And because our ears are not open to hear from God, we're believing what someone tells us, and we're going back and repeating it as if it's true. And then we believe because everybody's saying it's true, it got to be true. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Just because somebody's repeating it doesn't make it true. eyes got to be focused on something different. If there's an authority now, if there's an authority in the body of Christ, and God has made you a part of it, that means God is sending you a signal. Whatever part of the body that you're in, that means that the body of Christ, the head of the body, Jesus Christ, is sending you a signal when he wants you to do something. And he's not going to send you a signal when he doesn't want you to do anything. So now, that would mean, if I can make one and one equal two, that if I'm a part of the body and Christ hasn't given me something to do that day, I should be still. But if he's given me something to do, then now I'm responsible to respond to the signal that is sent by the head. Now watch it now, because immediately now there should be no hesitation when the signal comes from the head that the body should move. No hesitation, none. When you wake up in the morning, you without thinking, unconsciously and consciously, you put your feet on the ground when you get out of the bed, and you stand up, you stretch, and you take that first step unconsciously. You make that step because your brain is sending a signal to your body to now move, stabilize itself, and prepare, because you're getting ready to either go to the restroom, or you're going to walk to the kitchen, or whatever the case may be, or you may just walk and get up and go to the closet, turn the lights on, go to the closet. But in your every movement, there's a signal coming from your brain. When you look, move your eyes left to left to right. There's a signal coming from your brain. So there is a conscious and an unconscious response to the activity and the authority of your brain. There should be the same response when Christ sends a signal to his body. I don't want to say there should be. There is the same response when Christ sends that signal to his body. There is that his body responds immediately. Responds immediately without thinking. There's an unconscious and conscious move from the body of Christ when Christ sends a signal. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I really want you to grab a hold of this, because if you can hear what I'm saying, it's not the building that I want you to take a look at where many people gather. That's not what I want you to pay close attention to. The reality is that you can't really see the body of Christ with your natural eyes. Christ can make you a part of it, but it would be difficult for you to see it with your natural eyes. Now, why is this significant today? Why is this important today? You know, I said earlier that I left the job, you know, my client's office kind of late. I had a meeting with an auditor. In reference to an install of payroll software that we're doing for this particular client. And everybody else was nervous because they didn't have information that would allow this installation process to move smoothly. And so there was some information that was being held in one person's possession. And she wasn't willing to share that information because she did not want the install to happen. She didn't like the software, and so she was going to block it in her own way. You know, she was finding a way to rebel against the system when the head had already made the decision that this is where we're going. See, only in us can we try to derail something when someone that is leading has made a change. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Only do we experience when someone wants to sabotage, that's where I'm going, the very thing that you have been instructed to do, you know, and they want to derail it, sabotage it, ruin it, break it down, because they don't want you to be successful. They're afraid to change. And so they dug in now. And because of their position, they are thinking that I can rebel, and because they rebel, some others may follow. Well, something was forgotten in this process here, that if the owner wants it and you are rebelling against it, there's a possibility that the owner will get rid of the person that is putting the bad seed out there, that is holding on to the information. And this is what this person thought, that they've been there so long, they have an invested interest in this company, but they don't own the company. They just work for the owner. Uh-oh. So there is no authority that they had above the owner. And they thought that if they act like, and in so many words, if I rebel, or if I become deformed, if I'm the right hand, and they're right-handed, if I become deformed, then there's something that cannot be done. And they will try to stop something that has already been ordained to happen. Isn't that interesting? That people think that the position that they hold has more authority than the head. That's just downright crazy. But then they'll do things that will try to show their influence. I'm still talking about the authority of the body. Watch it now. And so as we were going through this today, we found out that this individual had the information. And so they called that individual in, and the person came in and said, well, I got the information. I'm not happy with the install. This is not something I want to do. And the owner is standing there with tennis shoes on, had to come from his house to sit and listen to this. And out of his frustration, he decided, and he looked at this person that has been there for years, had a high-level position, and said, you're fired because you were holding up progress. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me real well. That was an eye-opening experience for me. And I'm going to tell you why. Not because you got fired. You know, because on my way home, I could see the traffic, and everybody knows how traffic is in Atlanta. You know, I could see how people were driving crazy. A couple of accidents had happened. It slows up the traffic from the people behind, you know. But I was in the express lane, and I could look down upon 75 heading north and see the backup of the traffic. Because of one person that had an accident and hit someone else, and they're both now pulled over on the side of the road. That caused all that traffic. But I jumped in the express lane, and I was moving right by it. And I heard the Lord tell me at that point that there's a bottleneck in man's church. But the body of Christ is standing in the express lane. There's a bottleneck. There's accidents happening over here. And you can see them. And you're headed in the same direction. But you're traveling the road that everybody else traveled. And now it's backed up. And here we are in the express lane, moving mild, driving quicker, not speeding, you know, but driving quicker in reference to them, because they had to get past a certain point to where the accident wasn't there anymore, to where they could move at a certain pace. I really hope you're getting this, because I'm going to do a shout out here in a minute. You know, and I'll tell you why I'm doing this. Because the authority is in the body. The authority of the Lord God is in the body of Christ, because Christ is the head. So the body has authority. The norm is building a building and going to church. I ain't got no reason. I don't have anything against anybody going to church, and I go, you know, but that church ain't the end all for me. I go traditionally and mostly just because I got to go see some people and, you know, I got to check on some pastors and things of that nature, you know. And some folks go because, you know, they like, they said that they're going to be around the believers and things of that nature. That's great. Forget not to assemble ourselves together with believers, those of the same light that believe in God, right? I get that. I do that. I do that every day because I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to deal with somebody that believes. I'm going to deal with somebody that don't, you know. So I'm going to gather around, and I'm going to do that, you know. But we have made this building the end all. Because if you don't go there on Sunday, we're ready to ridicule people because they didn't show up. And really the passion about them being there ain't about people, it's about money. It's about stuff. So I really want you to get where I'm going here tonight, right? If you think I'm there, I'm almost there. I ain't got there yet. If you, and I want you all to hear me, because this is going to be a defining moment for you tonight. This is really going to be a defining moment. The body of Christ is everywhere and is not locked up in a building. If Jesus himself was in the marketplace, y'all know where I'm headed. Why are we hanging out in the building? I'm going to say it again. If Jesus was outside the building, in the marketplace, why are we hanging out in a building? Because Jesus didn't find his disciples inside the temple. He didn't find them in there. Found them in the marketplace, one being a tent maker, a fisherman, a doctor, a tax collector, a lawyer. You know, he found them practicing their profession. And as he dealt with them, based upon what their profession was how he communicated with them, because he wanted them to understand that I know you and I know what you do. Right now, if you're listening to this call, there is something that God wants you to do outside the four walls that the body of Christ has authority to do, but you have left it inside the building. I want you to hear me now. You have left the authority that God has given you in a building. And it has not done anything referencing what God wanted to do for his people. If you can sit back and look at all the pain that you've been through, all the things that you had to deal with and the troubles you had to go through, or the situations that you have to have had to experience in life. If you don't sit back and cry about it, I want you to look at what God has done with you with that situation and how he has positioned you that you could no longer be subject to that situation, but you become the answer to a problem. Because the authority now is in the body. And if Christ is the head, he's allowed you to experience something that he already has an answer to, but he wanted you there just for a little while so you could see what he was talking about. And after you see this, then you can step outside of the building to become someone in the body of Christ that can deliver the answer. See, right now God has you standing between the problem and the solution. And because you're standing in between there, if you listen to him and step outside of that building, he's going to do something for you that the church cannot do. Because the authority is not in that building. The authority is in you. To grab a hold of this now. I've told y'all this, and you've heard me say it before. Whatever you have a passion for, God gave you permission to do. That permission is the authority that he placed in you. That's what that is. And right here, this moment, I'm going to give a shout out because I'm going to say some things, and I want you all to know what's going on and where I am and what I'm doing. First of all, I definitely got to give a shout out to Tawana Hayward Bay. I got to. This is a woman of God that has come into the metropolitan area of Atlanta, and she is turning this place upside down. I cannot even begin to go into the things outside of the four walls that God has positioned her to do. And if you've ever seen someone that has God's authority in her, and I said this the other day, and I mean this, we talk about the anointing. It ain't the anointing that I see on her life. She's an anointed woman, but that's not the anointing that I see on her life. That's not. This woman has the power of God. She has that. She has the power of God. And watch what I mean when I say this. I'm going to give a shout out to some more people here that I'm seeing the same thing come through them. You know, she has the power of God because she's able to walk into a place, not a church building, but just with ordinary people that have not even seen her or spoken to her and release something that has something to do with this economy that we're in. That's how God has blessed her. And she has the information to change your life. That's how powerful this is. I'm going to give a shout out to Lucretia. I believe God is doing some great things with her. I was on the phone with her hope she don't get mad at me for saying this. You know, I believe the Lord is positioning her. She's got a new product coming out, you know, and I think because of her position that she's in and how she struggled through life and how she's going to tell her story, you all would probably never believe the things that's going to happen with her because of that. And so I just, you know, I'm grateful to have been able to be a part of what's happening with these two people. You know, God has blessed me with a business, and it's growing, and I'm excited about it because it's putting me in the front of some people If I never would have listened to God, I never would have known what he was getting ready to do. So, and I want to address this situation right here. It's imperative. And y'all hear me loud and clear now. So tomorrow I'm going to a retreat. I'm transparent, y'all. This retreat deals with prophetic deliverance. So I'm going to be gone for a couple of days, and only because the Lord spoke to me. He told me that I'm getting ready to do something new, something powerful, something that I really can't, if I could explain it, I could put words to it, and I really can't. But he told me that, because I asked God about it, and when it came to me, and the Lord said, go. And I said, well, Lord, am I dealing with demonic spirits? I'm being transparent now, you know, because God, I'm talking to you all the time. I really, am I dealing with something? And the Lord had to deal with me about that. If you think for one moment that because you preach or you teach so well and that you're a part of the body that you cannot be attacked, then you got something else coming. You know, and I don't want to walk around here. I'm serious about who I am. I don't want to walk around here and not take it serious of what the Lord is doing in my life outside of the four walls and not stay in a place of being humble and being prepared. With new people coming in my life and folks that have blessed me in a very short period of time that I've known them and has really, really, really shown me some things that God had said, I'm blessed, but I don't want to walk around blessed and cursed at the same time. You know, if there's something that I need to disconnect from me, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's what I'm going to do. Because in the body of Christ, it is Christ that perfects his body. Christ that perfects his body. Not us. We can't perfect ourselves, and God used imperfect people to perfect his people. And that authority is in the body. God has given us the authority to write. He's given us the authority to instruct. He's given us the authority to build. He's given us the authority to develop. So there are new things coming up, and there are areas in this life that he's trying to give us access to for him. And that's why I'm grateful, because some of the things I've already known, I've been trying to do, people didn't take it to be serious. And now, God sends this over-the-top woman, and we meet and we definitely connect and I hear the same thing coming out of her that I've been saying for years. But I cannot be fully engaged unless I go and let God deal with me. Everybody's heard the song that's out there and said, God deliver me, because all I seem to do is hurt me. Our biggest enemy in life is ourselves. We are our biggest enemy. We won't accept. We won't deal with things when we look at it. And then when it comes down on us like a ton of bricks, we sit back and say, where did it come from? It's been there all these years. And it's God that's trying to perfect his body. Christ is perfecting his body. And if Christ is affecting his body and you are part of it, that means he's trying to perfect you. And as long as you're here, he has not finished working on you. Has not finished. Listen, I'm one of them that will tell you I did a lot of crazy things in life. Not afraid to talk about it because it doesn't hold me captive. I did some things that I constantly, whew, Lord, did you forgive me for that? Did I ask you to forgive me? If I didn't, shoot, let me ask now. And because of that, I'm not going to judge nobody or hold them captive because of something that they've done. I'm going to say it. Y'all can turn it off if you want to. I'm going to say it. We have to be submissive unconsciously and consciously to Jesus himself if we are a part of the body. I've never seen Jesus turn his back on anybody that came to him. Why do we? If we are a part of the body, if we have the authority of the body in us, we've already discovered that the building is not the body of Christ. The building is not the ecclesia. It is just something that has we put strength in. We made a building holy when it's not. We made a pulpit in the sanctuary holy when it never was. It never was. How can something built by man's hands be holy? How? And then we put all of our money, all of our time, all of our efforts in it, and we walk by those that are hungry. We say we are the church. We dress up. We look pretty. We look cute. We walk into the building. We frown down on those that cannot wear what we wear, don't have the money, don't live where we live. Is that the body? No, that's the church. I've grown to understand the difference between the two because the body is jointly fit together. Doesn't matter what their label is. If Christ has accepted them, they could be Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. Doesn't matter to me. Because I'm not the one to say that they're part and they're not. Only Jesus can do that. All I see is my brother and sister in Christ. In Christ. That's what I see because that's what he shows. I want to encourage you all because it is important. Two things that I want you to grab a hold of. Number one, that building is not the body. Most importantly, that church that you attend is not the body. There's no power in the building. The power is in the people. Obedience determines your access to the kingdom. I want you to think about that. Second thing I want you to grab a hold of is that if you are part of the body, Christ is sending signals now, and he's positioned people near you, around you, that have more knowledge and wisdom than you do. In certain areas, because he's trying to equip his body. And if we listen like he wants us to, the body will respond effectively against everything that is happening around it. Dear hearts, again, I just wanted to talk to you tonight. I really wanted you to hear my heart. It's imperative now that we see whom God has placed around us and that we understand that he's equipping the ecclesia right now. He's opening doors that no man could ever open, but he's using the people that he's put in those positions before to come because he's given them the key. Don't walk by the door and don't walk in. This is your time. Not the building. This is your time. You're part of the body. If you're responding to it, then you know the authority that the body has. Well, I know I have a few minutes left. And again, I want to do one quick shout-out on November the 9th at the Embassy Suite Sugarloaf in Duluth. There's a Building Your Business Government Seminar for those that are interested in attending. You've seen it on my Facebook page. I probably sent you an email or something of that nature or sent you some type of message. Hayward Bay International is conducting that. There is a fee, $99 to attend. Listen, if you are in business or you want to go in business and you want to see how people have given themselves or solidified their foundation to stay in business, has been through government contracting. But you cannot get in government contracting unless you've been certified. I tell you, you need to be there. You need to be there. And if you're not there and you come up to me later on and talk about that my business is failing, I might help you. You know, but the information is not with me. Be there, you know, Tawana Bay, Hayward Bay, I'm sorry, Tawana Hayward Bay. She has that information. She is the one that can help you, and she's going to put that whole seminar together for you all. 9 o'clock Saturday morning, November the 9th. The Embassy Suite, Duluth, Georgia. Y'all give a call, find out where it is. I need for you to be there. You know, some powerful information you're going to come across to help you be more successful in your business and moving forward in life. Listen, I love you all. Let's end this with prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, oh God. God, I pray that we are seeing you and not the building. Father, I pray that we are becoming a part of you and not a building, oh God. And Lord, as you bring your people together, Father, you're going to see us, oh God, and you're going to empower us. You're going to give us that authority. And as we receive it, oh Lord, we're not receiving it for ourselves. God, we're receiving it that we may glorify you in the process. Lord, this is a process. I know it. I understand it. And God, there's more to come. I understand that. So Lord, I pray for the people that are around me, oh God, that you lift them up, Father, those, oh God, that you put near me. And God, I pray, Lord, that as you lift them up, Father, that they don't see me, they see you. God, I want to be just not visible to them. God, I want them to see you. I bless you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Look forward to hearing from you and seeing you in the next Saturday, November the 9th, at the Embassy Suite. And the Loose Sugarloaf, right? And it's going to be a beautiful time. God bless you. Talk to you later.